Well, good morning, everyone. How are you?
Excellent. Good morning.
Good. It's going to be a beautiful day. As soon as this fog lifts, it's going to be awesome. But I need you to check in right now. Don't check out too soon.
You can check out when I begin to speak.
Yeah. Just not on me. I'm Jay Tremblay. I'm the stewardship pastor here at Grace Chapel. I've been on staff for 11 years now. And my wife, Patty, and I have been, and our kids have been going to the church since 2000, so 17 years. Walked in the doors one Sunday morning, fell in love with it, and haven't been anywhere since. Just absolutely love it here. I was born and raised Catholic. I say born Catholic because there is no choice. Any converted Catholics in the room? One? All right, I'm going to talk to you. Two.
Okay, we have one right over here.
Three. Yeah. Awesome. Everyone's not admitting it right away. But, I mean, I was baptized or christened, as they called it, at 1 month old, and I knew nothing of what was happening. I didn't have a personal choice there whatsoever. And I went 13 years through Catholic school, kindergarten through 12th grade, and the entire time I was growing up, there was just this uneasiness in my heart, and I wasn't sure what it was, but I had an issue, always had an issue with having to speak to a priest to talk to God. That's how we were instructed, that's how you know, can communicate with God. And I that never set well with me. So after high school, my parents divorced, and we just stopped going to church. I mean, we were faithful weekly up until that point, but just stepped away for a little bit. A couple years later, I met my wife, or soon-to-be wife, and she was a free will Baptist. So you can imagine there's a little bit of difference in our theology there. And I went to her church for the very first time, and it was very different. You know, if you're not familiar with the Catholic services, they're very liturgical. It's stand up, sit down, stand up, kneel, stand up, kneel, stand up, kneel. You say very specific prayers. The priest gives a reading, usually a reading out of the scriptures, and then gives about a 5-minute explanation of that. You're in and out in 45 minutes, and that's what I was used to. So I go to this Baptist church, and we're about 40 minutes into music at that point. And I'm like, what in the world's going on? People are raising their hands. I'm like, whoa, this is just very different. I mean, I'll tell you how ignorant I was. When I was growing up, I had no idea there were other religions out there. It was you were Catholic or you were nothing. And so when I experienced the Baptist church for the first time, it was very different, obviously. And then you go through a 45-minute or so sermon, and at the end, I was like, I am done. When's lunch? So after that, we ended up getting married in the Catholic Church to appease my family. But after we got married, she didn't want to go to my church. I didn't want to go to her church, so we didn't go to church. And it was a couple years later, after our daughter was born, that we decided, okay, I decided we need to start going to church. We need to be an example for our daughter. So we did. I went to my church, and she went to her church, because neither of us were willing to yield at that point. But over time, God started working on my heart, and we were sitting in a service at a non-denominational church one weekend, and the only seats available were in the front row. So sitting in the front row with my wife and her parents, and the worship leader, Annette, was probably from me to you, and she was like drilling into me. I was so uneasy. I'm like, what's going on? So I got up and I walked out in the middle of worship, went and sat in the back row of the balcony and was just brooding up there. And God just worked me over that entire service. And it happened to be a salvation message. And he called forward, and here I come from the back row of the balcony, right in front of my wife, and accepted Jesus right there in my heart.
Wow.
That was in 1994. So after that, needless to say, we started going to a Baptist church at the time, and were plugged in, loved it. Then we moved out here in 1998 and started going to Calvary Chapel of Franklin. Doesn't exist anymore. It used to be over off of Columbia Avenue. And small church, 70 people or so, and just absolutely loved it. Loved the community, loved the teaching, and we had neighbors that were behind us. They introduced us to that church. And then they started coming to Grace Chapel. And they kept saying, you need to come to Grace Chapel. It's great. You need to come to Grace Chapel. I'm like, no, you know, we're good where we're at. We love the season that we're in right now. And then they invited us to what was like the 4th of July extravaganza that we have here. It was called Sunday in the South, and it was just a big old family picnic. And so we went to that for the first time, and I just absolutely fell in love with the people. This was on Labor Day weekend in 2000. And after that point, I say the Holy Spirit was just accosting me. Like everywhere I would turn, Grace Chapel was just coming into my mind. I'd be driving down the road, driving down 96, and my head would physically turn, like down Old Hillsborough Road. I would run into people all over Franklin and Fairview that were going to Grace Chapel. I would see the word, just grace, illuminated. It would just jump off of a sign. It would jump off of scripture, whatever it was. I'm like, oh my gosh, what is going on? So we decided to attend 1 week, and like I said, absolutely fell in love with the place and haven't worshipped anywhere else on a Sunday morning since.
Wow.
Was all in right away. We went back to our church the very next week and said, we love you all, but God's calling us over here. No hard feelings, but we're going to move on.
Wow.
Yeah. And, yeah, so that was back in 2000. I volunteered in just about every place you could volunteer at in this church, except for the children's ministry, because I always said if God called me to be a children's pastor, I might have said no, because it was just not my gifting, man. Just not my gifting. I'm so glad he didn't call me so I didn't have to have that decision. But I was leading a small group at the time, and at that time, Pastor Steve and our executive pastor at the time called me into their office and said, we want you to be the small groups pastor. I'm like, I'm sorry, what? Totally not qualified, and just had that conversation with them. And I don't know if you've ever had a personal conversation with Steve. I know it's hard in a church this size, but when he knows something, he gets this look about him. You know that look.
It's like this.
In the whole meeting, he was like that. And I'm wrestling. I'm like, there's no way this is going to happen. I mean, I had a great job, and this was going to be a big sacrifice, I guess, to go on staff. But he knew. And we went home, and we prayed about it and prayed about it and prayed about it. And it made no sense on paper when I looked at the budget. I'm like, this can't work. It's just not going to work. But God said, you know, be obedient, and I will take care of you. And he did. Provided ever since, and it was a move that I definitely do not regret, and I am so happy to be here. My day is different every single day. As stewardship pastor, I take care of the finances, take care of communications, human resources, all of the administrative functions, the volunteers, special events, basically anything that doesn't fall into adult ministry or children's ministry kind of comes my way, which keeps it different every day, and it's awesome. I really, really enjoy it. My wife also works here, Patty. She is the executive assistant to Pastor Steve and to Pastor Mark. We've got two grown kids. Natalie is 25 and Nathan is 21. That's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Amen to that. We can say amen as much as we want to in this class. It's allowed in this church. Have you noticed that?
Yeah.
There's a couple people who say amen. This guy is the superstar at this church. I know when Steve was looking at him 16 or 17 years ago and doing that look, he was really saying, I'm going to get Patty, you know,
right.
and maybe Jay will come along, but I really want his wife.
Yeah.
So Patty is the only one who trumps, well, that's not a good word anymore.
No, she
but
does.
She's the one who's above him now. So awesome. This guy's great. I want to also say that you guys, we've done a survey, and this the leaders of your class are the number one leaders in the entire nation of Jody and Tom are just unbelievable people. I've known them a long time, and they seek the Lord with passion and imperfection. And so together we've been able to do some imperfect things in seeking God. But so excited about you guys being here. Thank you so much. Jay and I are just like blown away that you would give a Sunday morning to kind of get further in so that we can all be kind of on the same page? Isn't that sort of the of why we're doing this, so that we have kind of the same language and we raise issues that are on our hearts and what we teach here? And today this is awesome that I'm with Jay, because this is what he sees day in and day out. But my name's Kurt Beasley. Teresa and I have been here for 6 years, I think. My dad was a Free Will Baptist minister, so sorry, for 48 years. So I don't have as elaborate a story, except that, you know, I am finding that we all have these weird stories about how we found this church on South Hall, right? Mm-hmm. I have about four yeses. It seems like every time we talk, no one says, yeah, I was looking, you know, I was online and looked for and found. And Teresa and I were real involved in a local church for a long time. I was teaching a class I'd been teaching for 17 years, all in, unbelievable, loved every minute of it. Big class, big church, you know, our whole community was a part of that church. I mean, our kids grew up there. And one day I was about this time on a normal Sunday, I had finished teaching, and the Lord said, that's it. And I thought, well, you know, I mean, I'm dying, Lord, or, you know, okay, that's a heck of a place to tell me. And I was like, whoa, and I'm walking, I'm saying hello, and I'm just hearing, this is your last Sunday, and which was not acceptable, obviously, to me, you know, because our whole community, we're all in, I love this, I was the thing there and all that, and he just said, that's it. So we're walking to worship. And on the way, I said to Teresa, I got to tell you what I believe the Lord just said. And I said, he just kind of said, that's it. And she's like, oh, you know, that's not good, but that's really neat, but that's not good, but that's kind of neat, but that's awful. You know, so we're having this, and then she's going to win, you know, so I'm not going to go do this if she says. I said, I just wanted to let you know, we'll talk. She's like, yeah. So we sat down and worship. 10 minutes later, the Lord says, that's it for here. And I was like, no, you know, no. I look at her, and she goes, did he just tell us? We had a decision to make in about 15 minutes, because I knew that if I started bargaining, then I would be back. And so we just kind of looked at each other and said, yeah, that's it. And I talked to the pastor during the week, and I told him, he's kind of looked at me like, I'm glad you're leaving, because you're crazy now. And, you know, this. Teresa and I had not looked at a church in 20 something years, you know, so we were all, I wouldn't even think about looking. So Saturday comes around, and I'm thinking, gosh, I mean, what do we do tomorrow? Actually, we went back one Sunday and said goodbye and all that. And our daughter in Chicago calls and says, what is up? This is crazy. What's going on? I said, let me tell you what happened. She said, well, where are you going tomorrow? I said, I don't know. She said, why don't you go out to Grace Chapel? Now, she doesn't live here, and she's moved away and all that good stuff. And I said, Grace Chapel, where is that? She told me. Now, I have been riding my motorcycle down South Hall for probably 5 years and have never looked. You know how you can not see in life? Well, I'm the ultimate not seer, because I have been going down this road, doing the motorcycle, you know, everybody, forever, and never looked to my left. I've always thought, hey, what is that? And she described it and said, oh, I think I've seen that. We get up, we come, and we sit on the back, on the right side. You know, most of us have started there, right? You know, on the back right. We were actually not completely on the back. We were on that second row from the back. And, you know, I was like, Lord, this is not good. I want to go back. You know, I need to be in 10 minutes in. He just delivered for our family the opportunity to be here. And I thought, well, you know, we'll never have relationships like we've had before. I get it. You know, that's okay. We'll have this unbelievable, but we'll never. And our relationships have warped in a warp speed over 6 years that have confirmed for us this gift. And you guys are an extension of just what God has done for me, just letting me be with him here and with them. And so I think that deserves an amen, at least for my family, right? And I know we have bits and pieces of that same story, some of us, and still maybe today are wondering, what am I doing in this room? You know, Lord, what am I even? And I'm telling you, he's faithful to your decision to be here. He will honor this today. And you may not connect the dots, you know, directly, but man, we're all going to just be a blessing to each other for being here. And so thank you. Thank you. Awesome.
Awesome.
Yes, sir.
If you have an opportunity to get to know Kurt and his wife, Teresa, definitely do. They are an awesome, awesome family.
Amen to that.
All right. We're going to need to say amen after every sentence.
Yeah, we
Kurt's
are.
Speeches. All right. Okay, so what is stewardship? A lot of people think that it's just about finances, and stewardship is not. Stewardship is really about your time, your talent, and your treasure. It's everything God has given you. What are you doing with it? How are you stewarding that? So that's really what my world is on a daily basis. Obviously working with the finances, but working with volunteers, helping people figure out where they can put their time in and what their talents are and how they can use those to best serve God and best serve this church. So that's what I'm working with on a daily basis. So we're going to talk about all of those areas. We'll spend a bunch of time on finances, obviously, but we will definitely hit the talent and the treasure as well. So open your books, if you haven't already, to page 53. And I'm going to go through the fill-in-the-blanks pretty quickly, and then we'll camp at the end there a little bit. So number one, what is tithing? Tithing or tithe means a tenth part. What's the difference between a tithe and an offering, number two? A tithe is giving the first tenth of my income, where an offering is anything that you would give above that. Number three, what is the purpose of tithing? Number four, when do I tithe? And that's on a regular basis. 1 Corinthians 16:2 says, on the first day of every week, set aside some of what you've earned and give it as an offering. The amount depends on how much the Lord has helped you earn. And number five, where should I tithe? And that should be where I worship. Malachi 3:10 says, bring your whole tithe to my storehouse or the temple. So growing up Catholic, my example of tithing, really we called it an offering, it wasn't even really taught as tithing, was every week, you know, we'd be sitting in the front row and the offering would come by and my dad would take out his wallet and throw a $20 bill in the basket. And that was my example of what giving or an offering was. So I get married to a Baptist and, you know, offering plate comes by, take out my wallet, throw in, I don't even think it was a 20, it might have been a 5 or a 10, quite honestly, at the time. And I get a little look, you know. I'm like, what? We'll talk later. So, you know, we talked about it a little bit later, and she goes, you know, an offering is more than just, you know, whatever I threw in there. I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, it should be 10% of your income. I'm like, what? 10% of our income? Are you kidding? It's like, show me where it says that. So prove it to me. Yeah. Like, what in the world? So it was a bit of a struggle in the beginning of our relationship for sure because I had not been taught that at all and didn't experience that. So, you know, God worked on me through my wife, but directly as well over time. And I'm happy to say once I learned the truth, he has been so faithful, so faithful. You can look at your budget, and it may not make sense sometimes. And there were some very lean years that we had. But I can tell you, we never took away from the tithe. And he has blessed us in return abundantly. I mean, there were points where I didn't know, like I wrote a check, and I'm like, oh, that's not going to clear. But, you know, it did. And there'd be times when I would just get something in the mail. It was like a rebate or something. I'm like, "Are you? Oh my gosh, where'd that come from?" Or this excess money, or you know, you'd get this abundance of escrow coming back at the end of the year. I'm like, what in the world? And it's God just taking care of you. So it was pretty incredible to watch that. over the time. Also, tithing, I mentioned that it should go to the storehouse or the temple, and that's basically where you worship. So a lot of people ask that question, well, if I go visit another church, do I tithe there? Well, you can certainly give an offering there, but your tithe should be to your home church. People coming in here for the first time, if they're visiting, we say, we don't want your money. This isn't your place of worship yet, so we don't expect that from people at all. Anything that you give above that tithe, like I said, is an offering. So some people ask, well, I give to charities too. I give to Mercy Ministries or to Caleb or Way FM. Is that considered part of my tithe? It's not. It's an offering because your tithe is the first 10% of your income that goes to your home church. Anything above that is an offering. And we'll talk about regular offerings and sacrificial offerings a little bit later. And then I also get questions about, well, when should I tithe? Well, it's when you get paid. But we're not legalistic about that at all. Some people set up their monthly budgets, and, you know, if you need to give at the, you know, middle of the month versus the beginning of the month, that's okay. We don't look at that. There's only two people in this church that know who gives what. Pastor Steve is not one of them, by the way. So he has complete freedom to preach as he does, unfiltered, and he speaks the truth, and he doesn't have any hindrances if he knows that there's someone in the back row that gives a bunch of money and he's talking on a topic that person might be struggling with. He doesn't have to worry about that. He just lets it rip every week, and I love that about him. And we're set up in a way where he doesn't see the he knows what's given overall, but he doesn't know who gives what, which is awesome. So when do you give? You know, when is appropriate, after you get paid. You figure it out based on your budget. We're not legalistic about that at all. And then we also have online giving, which is a great avenue for people. I use it. I set it up. It's scheduled. I don't have to worry about it at all. I don't have to worry about bringing my check in. And I know on Sunday morning, on Saturday actually, it's going to come out of my bank account. And when the offering is prayed over on Sunday mornings, I pray over my offering right there. I pray for it when it comes out of the bank account because I get a notification. And then I also pray for it on Sunday morning. Hmm. I've got a lot of people, it's like, well, you know, if the bag comes around and no one sees me putting something in, what does that look like? Like, who cares? Your offering is not between you and your neighbor and the Lord. It's between you and the Lord. So if you're locked up with that, please be released. You have my permission. All right, Kurt. What's
well,
that?
Of course.
I proudly just moved that bag to the next person.
You and I, right here. Sometimes you pull some out, you know. Got to make up that 10%. All right.
Yeah, watch the long sleeves.
Yeah, watch the long sleeves. And I'm a lawyer, so that's what. All right, so why? Let's look at the why section. Why God wants me to give. And let's fill in these blanks like we did with Jay. I want to camp out on one, and if you had your Bible-ish, we'll look at that. But why? Number one, my stewardship reflects my commitment to discipleship. Is there any better indicator or litmus test for where we are with God than our money, right? And some of you guys are like, no. And I'm like, wow, that's cool, because you're so much better and more mature than the most of us. But, boy, money really, it's our culture, it's everything. And there's not really a better litmus test than what we do with our money. So my stewardship reflects my commitment. Number two, giving makes me more godly. It says, God so loved the world that he gave his only son. We all know that verse, and probably not in that context. But we need to let's really think about that this morning. Number three, I want to camp here just a second. Number three, giving draws me closer to God. Giving draws me closer to God. Our verse is Matthew 6:21. Where your treasure is, there your heart is also. Well, that's just true, isn't it? Listen to the context. I want us to put that verse in context. In Matthew 6:19-21, listen to the context of this. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. Verse 20, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There was in Matthew, just a few pages in Matthew 19, we hear about the rich young ruler, right? And you know some of that story. Do you remember anything about him at all? Just other, he was rich, he was young, he was a ruler.
He was seeking.
He was seeking. That's awesome. He was seeking. Anything else we remember? And we'll buzz through. But I want to keep in context of what we just heard about our treasure. And now we come to a guy that we get to see this played out. He was seeking. Anything else?
Legalist.
Money was his thing. Money was his thing. When he comes up, it was what?
It was his security.
It's interesting. And we don't need to read, but I'll remind you of what happens. He comes running up. The disciples are watching him. And he comes up and says, he says, teacher. And like Jesus goes, yeah, okay, this is good. When he says teacher, he's being very reverent, being very interested. He says, what shall I do? And he says, and Jesus says, well, keep the commandments. And he says, well, I've done this and this and this and this and this. Can you imagine the disciples? They were all like us, right? They're going, this sounds good. That sounds amazing. He's reverent, he's interested, he's serious, I mean, he's a good man. But Jesus goes, okay, this is a heart issue, not a money issue, right? And he goes and says, this man's identity is in his treasure. And Jesus goes, I'm going to see what he says about his identity. And he had an identity crisis. And he clearly, back to the verse that we just read, he got to a point in his life where he was the man. He wanted it. He was interested, reverent. But when it came down to it, Jesus dissected him and said, okay, what about treasure? What about money? And what does the verse say about his reaction to that? Do you remember? How did he respond? He went away sad. Is that the most bizarre statement of all time, of the entire Bible? You make a choice that you even know is wrong. If he'd have said, I'm going to go away and I'm good about it, he literally knew the right answer. He went away sad. So it's important, isn't it? And today, let's ask the Holy Spirit to just talk to me about this. You know, Lord, where am I? Where is my identity getting kind of messed up in this whole thing? We're not here. Jay especially is not here to get you to give. We want you to be. You know, we just want you to be. And so, all right, ready? Keep going. Number four, giving is the antidote to materialism. Do we need a dose of that in this county? Number five, giving strengthens my faith. Number six, giving is an investment in eternity. And then number seven, giving blesses me in return. It's a strange economy with God, isn't it? Strange economy, how we just cannot outgive. We just can't outgive. He says, a generous man himself will be blessed. And number eight, giving makes me happy. I've noticed everyone didn't say amen to that.
I will say amen.
Well, we got one amen. It says, the people rejoiced for they had given freely and wholeheartedly to the Lord. Mm-hmm. They knew, you know, in Numbers 14:28, it says that Caleb was a servant, a man of a different spirit who followed God wholeheartedly. And I've looked at that verse, and I've looked at this verse, and I go, Lord, where do I have a dissected heart? Just reveal to me, is there something in particular today? Is money getting in the way? Good.
Yeah. Okay. Next section, how God wants me to give. I have a right attitude. Number one, I give expectantly. Number two, I give willingly. Number three, I give cheerfully. And number four, I give sacrificially. I want to talk about sacrificial offerings for a bit. How many of you were here? I guess it's been a little over, it was almost a year. Good Friday last year when we did the sacrificial offering. Let me see your hands. Okay, so a small percentage of you, actually. This church has a huge, huge history of sacrificial giving. Sacrificial giving, it's giving until it hurts. It costs you something. It's far and above beyond just the tithe and just giving an offering here or there. It really is a stretch and a sacrifice. like I said, this church has a huge history of that. I want to talk about a couple different sacrificial offerings that we have just to see and show you what God did in this place. We go back all the way back to building this building and purchasing the land that we're on right now. With about 300 people, we were able to raise just the right amount of money to be able to purchase this land debt-free. And we did that in one offering. Steve taught on sacrificial giving, and he made a plea to the church saying, hey, we're going to do this, and we were able to purchase it in one offering. Fast forward a couple of years, 2004, I think it was, and we were having a conference on a Friday night and a Saturday. It was called the Resource Revolution. Pastor James Ryle had taught that, and he basically challenged us on Friday night. He talked about sacrificial offering, what it was, what it was not, and he said, by the end of the night, I want you to go home and think about what you're going to give tomorrow, and you know, spend some time with the Lord and figure out how you're going to give sacrificially. So we went home. My wife and I both prayed about it. We prayed separately about it and came back with one another, and I said, I think God's telling us to give this. And she goes, that's the same number God gave me. So we're like, okay, we're in tune with what we're hearing from the Lord. This is what he wants us to do. So at the end of the night, we all came forward, gave our sacrificial offerings, counted it up. We didn't know where this money was going to, by the way. They didn't say, hey, it's going to go here in this church or where it's going to go. And there were, I think, 35 or so families that were represented there that night. And with those 35 families, we raised $62,000 in one offering that evening. Again, not knowing where it was going. The next morning, we came in, and Pastor Steve brought in a family who we heard about through another church that were on vacation and on the way home from Florida or wherever they were coming from. They were in a fatal car accident. The father and one of the children passed away. And we gave that money to the widow and her children without even knowing who they were. Just gave that right away. That very same week, I can give you a personal testimony. The next day on that Monday, I got a brand new, not a new job. It was a promotion with a significant increase. Significant. I got a brand new truck that a couple days later. And then later that week, my in-laws had loaned us some money for my wife's business. They didn't know we had just gone through this exercise. And it was Thursday afternoon. She called up and she said, you know that loan that we've given you all? It's paid off. Don't worry about it. All of those things right there far surpassed what we gave. You know, immediately God showed how faithful he was for our obedience to him. And there were stories and stories and stories of how God blessed different individuals. So I'm not telling you that to show what God, you know, I'm not boasting about what God did, what we did. I'm boasting about what God did, you know. And you shouldn't give to expect to receive. I'm not saying that at all. It's an obedience thing. It's a heart issue. If your heart's not right and you're not giving for the right and pure reasons, he's not going to bless you in return. You know, it says talk about or to give cheerfully and to give willingly. If you give your money like this, holding on to it as it's going by and dropping it in the offering, and you're not opening up your hands to receive back, you're not going to receive back. Don't be tight-fisted with it. Hmm. All right, give joyfully. And there were several different occasions. I wish we had time to talk about all of the different sacrificial offerings that we had, but year after year that we did these, or time after time that we did these, God showed up and he gave more than we expected. It was just amazing. Mm. And I can tell you, even from a non-financial standpoint, in one of the offerings that we had done a couple years later, my daughter had been struggling. She had been a cheerleader for years and years and years. And then there was 1 year she didn't make it. Actually, 2 years she didn't make the team. And she was just crushed with that. And then we were having a sacrificial offering, and I used it as a lesson just to talk to her. It's like, okay, now she goes, what should I give, Dad? And I'm like, well, I can't tell you what to give. You have to wait for the Lord to tell you. But if it were me, this is kind of what I would do. So she came up with what she was going to give on her own, gave basically all that she had. And it was like a month later that God blessed her with making that team. It might seem insignificant to you, but for a teenager, it was a pretty big thing. And then made her captain of the cheer squad as well. And slightly after that, she goes, Dad, you know, I gave everything I had and God gave me this. I'm like, yes, he did. You're right. So he may not bless you immediately financially, but it might be with something. It might be something that you desire. It might be, you know, something that is something that's very cherishable to you. Mm. Kurt.
Me?
Yeah.
Okay. Awesome. Everybody okay? You have a question about that? What does one mean? I forgot. We only have 1 minute left for the whole thing?
Actually, we started a little late, Tom, so we actually have 6 minutes by my clock.
Are you kidding me? Legalistic? What did I say about this couple earlier? okay, well, don't ask any questions and go to Giving God My Treasure, all right?
We'll have time for questions afterwards.
Okay, good. Okay. That's right. That's right. Number one, ultimately, God is the one who provides me with all that I have. There you go. Number two. My possessions belong to God. He has provided them for me to use and steward. Number three, my treasure includes proper care of my body. Strike that one. Number four, I pay special, amen to that. We're not completely legalistic about number three. I pay special attention to those relationships that God partners me with and those who share a common vision for kingdom advancements. Number five, this is my best one. This is my favorite one, not that body thing, but number five. When deciding where and to whom to give, I listen. You heard Jay, right? I listen to the Holy Spirit and obey. This is my favorite. And if you had a pencil, if you need reinforcement, can the Holy Spirit truly give direction? We just heard Jay absolutely confirm. He's not up here doing, you know, me, saying this is what the Lord said. The Holy Spirit, he gives us direction. If you need these verses, John 14:26, but the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and remind you of everything I've said to you. John 16:13, when the Holy Spirit comes, he'll guide you in all truth. And then I'll stop there. But we can say yes to that, right? That he, the Holy Spirit, gives us direction in many areas, but we really need to listen, don't we? I'll violate the one-minute rule. Here, just recently, I was on my way to Knoxville. I jumped in the car. I had a trip to Knoxville. I had to stay all day. I get in the car. I go two blocks away, and the Holy Spirit says, you need to go back and get some cash that I've got where my ties are and stuff like that. I'm like, well, I don't ever carry cash. All right, so I go back, get out, run in the house. There's $20 or $30. I grab the cash. I put it in my pocket. I head to Knoxville. I forget all about it. That led to an experience that I think about now every day. An encounter I had that only cost me $20. And as it's happening, I didn't even think about what he said to me as I pulled out of my driveway. I didn't connect any dots. I didn't connect any of that. As I'm experiencing this relationship, this guy was blessing me because what I did, later on and went, oh, that's right. Remember? That's the Holy, that's him, right? He's saying, I'm going to bless someone, but I'm really going to bless you, Kurt. But you don't know. You listen. We miss it. We get it right. We miss it. Let's just ask him even today. Lord, I'm listening. Okay, number seven. Offerings which are given above the tithe may be given to the poor, to the needs of those in God's family, and to the advancement of God's kingdom and purposes. I got the next section, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's right. Giving God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Giving God my time.
Okay, good. Let's go to the next section here. And do we have no time left to give God? That's the message, Lord, that Tom wanted to tell you about. Giving God my time. I will tell you, we can all spend the rest of the day talking about this, right? This truly is my treasure. I'll have to say, my money, I don't have that money thing. I have got the time thing. And in my world and in my office and in my life, I'm constantly saying, Lord, how much time? So number one, time is a gift. We all have the same amount each day. What do I do with my time? Don't waste it. Number two, I submit my time to God so that he can order my day for kingdom purposes. No better time to do that than when the feet hit the floor, right? And say, Lord, it's your day. I kind of sell my time in my business because that's all I got. But I have got to give that to the Lord and say, take every bit of it today. You'll give provision. You'll give me provision. He always has, always will. If I'll give him, it's all his time. Number three, I spend my time based on my values. My values determine my priorities. Number four, God has determined that one day in seven is to be a Sabbath. That's it.
Okay. Next section, giving God my talents. Number one, God has uniquely created me and given me various talents, abilities, and giftings for his glory. Number two, I ask myself, what are the natural abilities God has given me? What are my acquired skills? Number three, I'm a steward who one day will give an account of how I used what God has given me. You know, I realize being on staff here at the church, a lot of my time goes toward kingdom activity. It just does. So I know some of you are probably sitting out there going, well, you know, we can't really compare that. And you're right. But I tell you, when I walk out of this place, I am looking for opportunities to be able to use what God's given me. As far as my talents to be able to reach people. And I do that one way by playing volleyball. I love playing volleyball. I've been playing it for 30 years. I absolutely love it. And when I first started playing years and years ago before I was saved, I wasn't the most, a good sport, we'll say. You know,
Catholic.
I might have used some colorful language, you know, on the court. I may have thrown a ball, kicked a ball. Anyway, after I was saved and I was still in this community playing volleyball, people saw a transformation in me. And that started, you know, they started asking questions. Something's different. What's different? Well, let me tell you. You know, it gave me an opportunity to be able to minister to people. And there are people in this church today that are here because I ministered to them on a volleyball court. I saw they were having a bad day. I pulled them aside and said, let's pray. You know, there are so many things that God has gifted all of you with that you can use either in your job or out in your community. And you're just as much a minister as Pastor Steve or myself or any of the pastors or elders here at the church. He'll use you where you're at. So think about those things that you're good at. Think about those things that he has given you. And how can you use that to bless people? I know someone in this church is a loan officer at a bank. And every time that he writes a loan, he asks to pray with them. And he opens up that door to be able to minister to them. So think about that. Especially, I mean, how many of you are teachers in the room? Anyone? You can't easily talk about the gospel at the schools. Exactly. Amen to that. You can't easily talk about it, but there are ways to do it. You can work through students. You can work that in. So don't let the rules dictate what you should or should not be doing. Amen to that. So just think about what God's given you and how you can use that to further the kingdom. Where can you serve? Where can you serve the body overall, and where can you serve in this church? He's given you talents. Once you go through these steps classes, think of ways that you can plug in at this church. You know, do you have the gift of hospitality? Be a greeter, be an usher. Are you a tech person, an IT person? You know, help out in our tech ministry. There are places that you can plug in. Are you an intercessor? You know, talk to Pastor Rick about being on the prayer team. Various ways that you can plug in. So I urge you, encourage you to do that. Because not necessarily, depending on the ministry. Like in some of the more first contact ministries, you don't need to wait, and that would be like greeters, ushers, hospitality, check-in, you know, the coffee bar, things like that. Kids ministry, a little bit different. We want to make sure that you know who we are, we know you, and you've been here for a good amount of time. We do a little bit more, you know, background checks and things on that. But no, you don't have to wait until you go through, but you just need to show, you know, that you're committed to the church, which you are because you're going through these classes. Yeah.
All right.
All right. Tom, would you come on up?